Thank you very much for coming, and may our learning be a merit. Ilui Nishmas, Ilochaya Nachama Bracha Lea Shalom, Vastav and Mordechai Sheyichya. Today's daf is daf Chav Ches. We are on the bottom of Chav Zayin Amid Beis. Still dealing with the issue of miscarriages, abortions, and afterbirths. So the Mishnah now teaches us, actually the Gemara teaches us, we're towards the bottom here of Chav Zayin Amid Beis. Rish Lakish Amar, Rish Lakish said, Shvir, a fetus, Shetrafuhu b'meimav, that they made it basically disintegrate in its own fluid, right? So they say here in the Koran, the fetus was shaken around in the amniotic fluid so that it all came apart. Everything is erased. So according to Rish Lakish, Nasa Kemation is Balbla Tzura, so that's like a dead body which doesn't have its form anymore. And then a dead body, let's say, is burned so that it's all ash, it doesn't have its form. Doesn't create some. Okay, so apparently, the way the Aruch HaNer explains this, this is really explaining what we had seen in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we saw that if you find the afterbirth in a room, so then the room is tamei. But Rabbi Shimon says no. Maybe the baby disintegrated inside the womb, and therefore the room is not tamei. So what's the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon? So we saw different explanations in the Gemara. Maybe the reason Rabbi Shimon is because the baby is a fetus, is a dead body, but it's batel, because other things are with it. Maybe it's not enough to have other things with it. It itself is batel in the is because it's the minority. It's the minority relative to the majority, which is blood. And here there's another idea, Rish Lakish's idea. It's lost its form. And since it lost its form, it doesn't create tumah. So Amar le Rabbi Yochanan le Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan said to the Reish Lakish, where is your source for such an idea? Meishen is Babla Tzurasa Minalan Detar. How would we know, or what's your source, that a dead body that's been deformed, has lost its structure, that doesn't create tumah. Rambam says that if the dead body doesn't have the structure of a spine and ribs, it looks like a dead body, then already doesn't create tumah. So what's the source for such a thing? If you're going to tell me the source is from deriving it through an inference of what? Rav Shabtai said in the name of Rav Yitzchak Migdalah. Some say it was Rav Yitzchak Migdalah, who said it in the name of Rav Shabtai. So you derived from what they said that a dead body who's totally destroyed and there's no form left and it doesn't create tumah. What did they say? They said the following. Mesh Yisra, if you have a dead body and the body gets burned, the Shildo Kayemes, but the frame is still here. You can still see the spine. You can still see that it looks like a dead body. In other words, all the ashes are in place of where the dead body would be. It looks like a dead body. It is tummy. And they said further, Masaya. There was a story like this. A dead body in a room, and the dead body got burned. It became ash, but it still was in the form of a dead body. The sages said, not only did the dead body create a tumah of ohel within the room it was in, but there is a rabbinic tumah of ohel of the entranceways. Right? So if you have in a building large entranceways and small entranceways, since this dead body is likely going to come out of one of the large entranceways, we just don't know which one, and let's say each entranceway has a little canopy over it, whatever is under the canopy becomes tame. That's called sof tuma latzes. Tuma is destined to come out of a certain room. So where it's supposed to come out from, that area also has tumas ohel. So they said the big entranceways to this room, entranceways that had a, they were 4x4 tfachim, they all become tame. Whatever under the canopy of those entranceways. However, the small entranceways that were less than 4x4 tfachim, their area, the area, if they had canopies over them, those areas did not have any tumah. Okay, so that was the story. There was a dead body that was burned, still had the shape of a dead body, and they made the doorways that were big, whatever was under them, tameh, and the doorways that were small were not tameh. So maybe you're trying to derive from it the following. Time when the shildo kayemts. When did they create any tumah in the doorways? And there's a tumah in the room. When the frame of the body is still here. You still see the spine. You still see the ribs. It's in the shape of a body. Halavachi, but were it all to disintegrate? Tahar, everything would be tahar. So that's your source. That if a dead body is totally disintegrated, it's fully tahar. It doesn't create tumah. That's what you're saying, that if the fetus totally disintegrates, it's like the dead body that totally disintegrates and it's tahor, it doesn't create tumah. But that's not the right way, says Rabbi Yochanan to Reish Lakish. Adrava, the exact opposite. You should derive an inference from the lesson of Rabbi Yitzchak Magdalah in the name of Rabbi Shabtai, the exact opposite. What should you say? Shlado kayemes u'detaru lo psachim ktanim. When the dead body is burned, but there's still a frame, a spine, and ribs, and the small entranceways are torn. Halav hachi, but were the body to be decomposed, to be deformed, then psachim ktanim nami tzmeim. Then even every small entranceway would have tumas ohel of sofa. So if tumah latzeis, the fact that the tumah is destined to go out through there, imposes a rabbinic impurity on everything under that canopy. Why? The kachad b'chad, because every small entranceway, chazi, is also worthy. Afuki chad chad ever, for a single limb to come out through it. Just an arm through this little doorway, and a leg through that little doorway, because the body's decomposed. But you don't see that a body that's decomposed is tahor. That's Rabbi Yochanan said. I'm a Ravina Ravashi. Ravina said to Ravashi, Rabbi Yochanan holds that a body that decomposes still creates tumah. Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar Keman. Who's the Tana that Rabbi Yochanan is following? And it says Ravashi, Ki Rabbi Eliezer, is following the Tana Rabbi Eliezer. The Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah in Olos. Efer Srufin, ash. From people who were burned. Rebbe Eliezer, Omer Rebbe Eliezer says, Shi'uro berovo akav. If you have a quarter of a kav of this ash, it creates tumah. It creates impurity. So he holds that even ash, even though it's not the shape of a human body, can create impurity. Asks the Gemara. What's that question, Mark?
No, is that what it's saying? When the body is burned, if the bone structure, such as the spine, is intact, that piece is tameh. Now, what happens when, let's say, half of the spine gets burned out too in the fire? So is it still tameh?
According to Reish Lakish, not. But according to Reb Yochanan, yes. Even if it's just ashes. The ash is in a cup. It doesn't look like a body at all.
Like cremating or something?
That also can create tuma, according to Rabbi Yochanan. The ashes also create
tuma. So which one is the halakha? Which opinion is the halakha?
Usually we pass him like Rabbi Yochanan. I would think that's the way we pass him.
It's also thinking of Zaka and all those guys.
Let's see what they have here in the back. Who's the halakha like? No, like Rish Lakish. The ashes of dead bodies is tahar.
Tahar, so when they cremate the body?
That's for about fire.
That's tahar?
The ashes are tahar now. They don't create tumma.
Oh.
It's not a dead body anymore.
You keep your cat in a little urn.
So we paskin that it has to have the shape of a body to create tuma, but if the shape is gone, it doesn't create tuma.
So this half of the spine is burned out. It's just
it's
out of shape.
There's another tuma of the bone. That's true.
Assuming there's no bones left.
That's right. If there's no bones left. So again, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with this. Rabbi Yochanan holds that as long as he says, even if the shape is gone, it creates tuma. Kiman, who is he like? He's like Rabbi Eliezer. The time we learned in the Mishnah, Efer Srufim, the ash of burned people. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Shiur Berova, that if it is a rova kav, it creates tuma. Hey Chidami, what's the case of Meshe Nisraf Ushlado Kayamas? This is now a technical question. How do you even have such a thing? If the body's burned, it's all burned. How do you still have the frame there? How would it still look like a body? So three proposals. Amar Abai Abai said, Kikosha Sarfal Gabi Katavla. They burned the body on top of this tough leather. So this leather doesn't get burned, even the body can get burned. So that's what holds the body in its frame. Rava Marava said, Goncha Sarfal Gabi Aputarim. They burned the body in top of this, inside a marble case. So the marble case doesn't get burned, and it holds the ashes in its place. It's not that the body was really burned. The body was singed. So since the body was singed, it's still in its same shape. You can still see that it's all there. Okay, now we're going to move on to a new topic.
So now the ones that they buried the body in the wall.
That's what they used to bury. That's right. We learned that yesterday.
Is that kosher?
Yeah.
I mean, they put them in a box and they put them
in here, what they bury.
Yeah, in the cemetery, I've seen it, you know, they put them in the wall, you know.
The mausoleum, I don't think so.
No. It has a door and they lock it up and that's it, you know, boom.
Yeah,
you know.
I don't think so. In the times of the Tanayim...
No soil, no dirt, nothing involved here.
Right, so I don't think that's good. In the times of the Tanayim, they used to bury in the caves. But the cave is underground.
Exactly.
They'd go underground. And underground, they would put the body in a shelf.
This is, looks like a kitchen cabinet.
So now in Yerushalayim, they ran out of room in Haran
Chod. So they put them on the top of each other.
They did some, like a wall, basically, where they built a building, they put one on top of the other. But they've also built the whole underground cemetery where they're going to start to bury underground.
But it still touches the dirt.
Here it's
but
touching
here
the dirt.
Here in the
ground.
Cemetery, here, it doesn't. They went on Forest Avenue.
That's right.
Okay? And then they just, it's like a kitchen cabinet. They put the thing in the cabinet and they lock up the thing there. I don't get it.
Yeah, but Moshe Feinstein was very against it.
Against coffins?
The cave,
no, against
different.
The buildings where they bury above ground.
But even a cave and going into the ground is very different, because the ground view disintegrate rather quickly.
Yes, yeah, and also there are multiple floors there in the cave.
Right, correct.
Yeah. All right, hopefully Mashiach's coming soon and we won't need any of this. No more tzoma, Bezrat Hashem. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa. Hamapeles Yad Chatucha, a woman who aborts just a hand, or just a regel chatucha, just a leg comes out of her. So imo tamei leida, that makes the mother tamei leida. However, and the reason why is ein choshen shem guf atzum ba. We're not worried that maybe the baby inside was really incomplete. and therefore it's not Tumas Leida. We say, no, the baby was probably complete in this hand, and this leg came from a baby. So she's Tumah with all the laws of Tumas Leida. Now we know normally the laws of Tumas Leida are 7 days of impurity for a boy, then 33 days of purity for the boy, 14 days of impurity for a girl, then 66 days of purity for the girl. However, here we don't know whether it's a boy or a girl. We just saw a hand, we just saw a leg. So presumably we'd give all the chumos, right? We'd say 2 weeks of impurity for the girl, maybe it's a girl, and only 26 days of purity because maybe it's a boy. However, if chizna, rabba, rabuna, dami, tarvayu, ei nosnin lo yemei toar, we don't give her any days of purity. My time or what? Maybe she's been giving birth over time. Maybe there were other organs that came out earlier, and those were most of the organs. So really, that should have started the whole count of the days of impurity and purity. We just didn't notice those. Now an arm came out. Now a leg came out. So she hasn't kept any impurity. So certainly there was a birth. She has to keep impurity. But maybe since that birth happened also earlier, we can't give her any days of purity. So if she has any bleeding, we're going to make her a nida, and we're not going to give her days of purity. Masav Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef challenged this from a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Amat pelas, a woman who aborts a baby, being yadu amai pila, she doesn't know what came out. So teisha lezach ulin akeva, she has to have the laws of the male and the female. So 2 weeks of impurity and 26 days of purity. Isal kadai tachir, going to tell me kol kai gavins. Situations like this, we don't know what was. Maybe there's been a birth over an extended period of time. Listen, Ulanita, the Mishnah there should say that not only does she have to treat it as if it's a boy and a girl, she has to treat it maybe that she already had it a couple weeks ago, and therefore if she has blood, she doesn't have days of purity, she's a Nida. Abaye answered, if the Mishnah there would have said that a woman who had an abortion, she doesn't know what came out, has the male law and the female law and nida law, have amina mevia carbon veino necho. Let's say maybe it's a full suffix. We don't know. Maybe it was a boy, maybe it was a girl, maybe what came out of her wasn't even a child at all, and it was just nida. So therefore, when she brings the carbonos, the birds, for having been a mother, for having given birth, we wouldn't eat those birds because we don't know. Maybe there was no birth at all. That's the way I would have interpreted it. But here we're saying there is a birth. Those birds do get eaten. We just don't, but there's also nida. So that's why Kamashman, that's why he said no. He just said, when there is an abortion, we don't know what came out, we treat her as if it was a boy and as if it was a girl, and we don't mention nida because we don't want to give the impression that the carbon that she brings is not eaten, because dinechal, it is eaten. We know that there was a birth. Since we know there was a birth, he has to bring a carbon. We just don't know really when the birth was. So therefore, there's going to be nida too, but the carbon can be brought and the carbon can be eaten.
Even miscarriage,
depends at what point, yes. Amar Avuna, Avuna said, Hotzi uberes yadav yichzira. Let's say a baby puts its hand out of the womb and then brings his hand back into the womb. Is that a birth or not? So Avuna says, Imot me'el leida, the mother would be tameh, shenema, because it says in regards to the birth of the twins, Peretz and Zerach, when Tamar was giving birth, he put a hand out and then he brought it back in. So that's also a birth. Masa, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda challenges from a b'raisa. The b'raisa says, Hotzi uberes yado, if the fetus takes his hand out, the mother doesn't have to worry for anything. Rav Nachman answered, I heard an explanation from Rav Huna. Lachosh chosheshes. No. She does, if the baby put his hands out, maybe that is a birth. But you may tzor lo yavinan la. We're not going to give her days of purity. Adenafik rubo, unless we see the majority of the baby coming out. So the Gemara says, how can you explain the Braisa that way? The Braisa says that a baby putting an arm out is nothing. So what do you mean? It is something, and therefore there is a chashash. Maybe there's a birth here. Amar Abaye explained, when the Braisa says in the chashash l'chol davar, that's telling you mido Raisa. On the biblical level, a hand out is not a birth. Only the majority of the body out is a birth. Midrabbanan choshashes. The Rabbanan, they said that even a hand coming out maybe was a birth, and therefore there is Tumas Leda. And Rav Huna said that if a baby put his hand out, brings it back in, the mother is Tame Leda, it means Midr Rabbanan. What do you mean it means only Midr Rabbanan? Karakamar, he said it was a pasuk with Peretz and Zerach. No, it really is a law that's only Midr Rabbanan. Kra is a smachta ba'ama. That pasuk is just a way to remember the law. But really, it is a rabbinic law. Biblically, a birth is, as we're about to see, where the majority of the body comes out, or at least the majority of the head. Okay, next Mishnah. Hamapeles tumtum. A woman who gives birth to a boy, or a child, whose genitalia are covered, so we don't know if it's male or female. Or androgynous gives birth to a hermaphrodite that has both male and female organs. But then Teishev Lezachar Ulinakeva. She has to have the law of male and female. She has to have 7 days of impurity, and then another 7 days of impurity, but only 26 days of purity.
That's what I asked a couple of days ago.
That's right. It's a suffix. What happens if she gives birth to twins? One was a tumtum, and the other was a Zachar. One was a male, the other is a tumtum. Or she gives birth to an androgynous, an hermaphrodite, and the other is a Zachar. Again, we're worried. Maybe the tumtum and the androgynous are female. So teishav lezachar ulinakeva. She has the stringencies of male and female. 14 days of impurity and 26 days of purity. Tumtum ulinakeva. If she gives birth both to a tumtum as well as to an ulinakeva or an androgynous ulinakeva. She gives birth to an androgynous and to an ulinakeva. So again, teishev l'nakeva b'lvat. So then there's the only issue of the female. So she has 14 days of impurity and then 66 days of purity, because even if the other one was a male, she's still going to have 66 days of purity because she had a female. Yotzeh mechutach. Let's say a baby comes out cut up. O mesuras, where the baby came out through its legs. Then Mishiyatza Ruba Reikilud. The baby's considered born once most of it came out. Yatza Kidarko, but if it's coming out in a normal way through its head, Achiyatze Rov Rosho. It's born when most of the head comes out. Izeo Rov Rosho, what's most of the head? Mishiyatza Padachto, once the forehead comes out. Says the Gemara. Hashta Tumtum Lachude. Now, that you said if there was just the birth of a tumtum, or an androgynous lechude, just the birth of an androgynous, you have to treat it as maybe it being a female. Amar teishav lezachar ulinakeva, has to have the stringency of female, of 2 weeks of impurity. So tumtum vizachar, so if you have a tumtum together with a male, androgynous vizachar, an androgynous with a male, Niboy, is there any question? Of course, if we think that a tumtum and androgynous might be a female, so even though there's a male there, also we might think it's a female. So Gemara says, no, if there's a male there, we might have thought it's not a female. It's strictly needed to tell you this. Ma'alatim would have thought to say, Hovam Reb Yitzchak, since Reb Yitzchak taught us, Isha Mazras Tchila, Yoled Zachar, if the woman gives the seed first, then there's a male coming. Ish Mazriya Tchila, if the male gives the seed first, Yoled Nekeva, then there is a female coming. Same, I would have thought, if we have twins, Mida Hai Zachar, since one of them is a male, the tumtum probably is also a male. Hainami Zachar, because it must be that the woman gave the seed first. Kamash Malan, that's what it's teaching you, that no. Amash name is Yubavasachas. Maybe the woman gave a seed and the man gave a seed. And therefore, Zu Zachar, from the woman's seed, you get a male. Zenekeva, from the male seed, you're going to get a female.
Rabbi, if the newborn is you don't know what it is, okay? Is it male or female or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she has to be impure for maximum days.
Correct.
Am I right?
That's right. Exactly.
Just 66 days or whatever.
No, 14. Impurity is 14 days.
Okay, and what is that 66 days for? Then?
Those are pure days. Any blood that comes out in the 66 days after the 14 days when there was a birth of a girl is pure. But with a boy, the pure blood is only 26 days. So here, what we don't know, we have to give both stringencies. The impurity of 14 days and the purity period of only 26 days.
So any suffix, we go for the max.
We'll go for the max.
Yeah. right? And all the korbanot that she brings there for birth korbanot, they all have to be burned out. They cannot eat them, right?
No, they could eat them. Because if there's a baby, boy or girl, same korbanot, they could eat them.
Could be eaten?
Yeah.
Not burned out. I thought it was burned out all the way, no?
Sometimes when you have a suffix, if there was a birth, but here we know there's a birth, just not sure if it was a birth.
If it's a normal baby, then
all right, so talking about tumtum and androgynous. I'm Rav Nachman, I'm a Rav. Rav Nachman is the name of Rav. Tumtum or an androgynous, Shiro Loven, who see some white stuff coming out from their genital area. Oh, Odem, or red stuff. So if it's a girl, the red stuff would make her Tamei Nida. If it's a boy, the white stuff would make him Tamei Keri. But here we don't know if it's a boy or a girl. A girl who has white stuff, there's nothing. A boy who has red stuff, also there's no tumma. So in these cases, since we don't know, Ein chayav al bias mikdash. If these people now walk into the temple, they would not have to bring a karban for possibly having defiled the temple, because maybe they didn't defile it. And if they touch truma, in sarvalena sa truma, we can't burn the truma, because maybe they were not tummy, because maybe this tumtum who has a discharge of red is really a boy. And if it's a boy with red, he's not tummy, so you can't burn the truma. What happens if ro, lo, ben, ve'o, dem, ke'echad? Let's say what came out of the tumtum or out of the androgynous was both together, white and red. Now he's certainly tummy. Then ein chayav and al bias mikdash. Then for walking into the temple, again, we're going to see from a special pasuk there's no prohibition, even though he's certainly tummy. There's no prohibition for a tumtum who's tummy walking into the temple. Avol sarf and alena sa chuma. But if they touch the chuma, it gets destroyed. What's the source that a tumtum or an androgynous who are tummy, if they walk into the temple, it's no sin? Because the Torah says about the temple, Tzavos Bnei Yisrael, command the Jewish people, Yishalchu min ha-machaneh, they should send out of the holy camp, called Tzarua v'chol Zav, any person with Tzarat, any person who is a Zav, called Tamei Lanefesh, any person who became Tamei Meis, Mizachar v'ad Nekeva, from male until female, Tishalechu, send them out. El Michutz la-machaneh Tishalchu, now turning to Chav Chesam and Beis, outside the camp you should send them out. The Torah says, who do you send out? From male to female. So Zachar Vadina Keva Vadai. You send out a certain male, a certain female, who's Tamei. The Tumtum Androgynous, but you don't send out these freaks, the Tumtum and the Androgynous, even though you know that they are Tamei.
Isn't the Tumtum ultimately a male or a female? So should it send out? In the androgynous, I understand.
Good point.
No,
but at least right now, we don't know. Since we don't know, so therefore, they are not included in this pasuk.
Is there any distinction for war? Whether they could participate in the army or not?
I don't know.
Don't ask, don't tell policy.
Which one is more Tamiz? Nida or
Zara? So Tosfos addresses David's question, and Tosfos says that if the pasuk has extra words, so it's to teach us something. The pasuk is saying the Torah's law that the impure have to be sent out. It said from male to female, mizachar nekeva. So it's to exclude something. So it's to exclude these people who have these added pieces of anatomy, and therefore they're excluded. So even though it's true, God does know whether it's male or female, but still it doesn't. This person doesn't look like a male or a female. The pasuk says a male or a female, so it's to exclude. Says the Gemara, let's suggest a proof to this idea. You learn in a brisa, tumtum v'androgynous. If you have a tumtum or an androgynous, shiro loven. We have a discharge of white, o odem, or a discharge of red. Ein chayav al bias mikdash. If they then walk into the temple, they're not obligated to bring a sacrifice because maybe they're not impure. Maybe the tumtum was really a male, and so the red doesn't make him tummy. Maybe she's a female. So then the white doesn't make her tummy. They ain't sorry for laying a satchuma, and if they touch truma, you wouldn't burn the truma. What happens if the tumtum and jogna saw both red and white roll over and ve'odim ka'achas? Ein chayav and al bias mikdash. If they walk into the temple, also they don't have to bring a karban. I will suffer and laying a satchuma. Then they're certainly tame, so if they touch truma, you have to burn that truma. So my time, a wife did walk into the temple, would they not have to bring a karban? Lav mishum shenemar. Isn't it based on this point of Rav? Yizachar v'ad nekeva tishalechu. The Torah says, from male to female, you shall send them out of the camp. Zachar v'ad nekeva v'adoyis. Only a certain male and a certain female do you send out. Lo tumtum v'androgynous, but you don't send out a tumtum or an androgynous. White stuff that looks like carry, or red stuff that looks like dam, looks like blood.
Which one is more impure, Rabbi? Nida
semen?
The sorest?
Saras? Yeah. Oh, they're both tame. They're both avatoma.
But they are, the degree of the tame in saras is a lot more than the...
I guess the saras is worse because they have to leave the camp, but they're both avatoma. Both a high level of tuma. So this is a proposed proof. Amar Ula. Ula said, lo, maybe not. Hamani, maybe this braisa is Rebbe Eliezer he. And so then there's another reason why he would say that it's tumtum and androgynous don't have the law of if they walked into the temple while impure, they have to bring a karban. Not based on the issue of the pasuk Zachar excluding tumtum and androgynous, but for a different reason. Itnan, we learned in a Mishnah. Let's say someone forgot that he was tamei, and he walks into the temple, and he comes out and he remembers he was tamei. So he has to bring the sliding scale carbon, the carbon olavi yorid. So Rebbe Lezer, Omer Rebbe Lezer says, the pasuk says there, Hasheretz v'ne'la mimenu, Hasheretz, and he forgets. That tells you, al helam sheretz. If he forgot that he touched the sheretz, and he walked into the mikdash, he walks into the temple, he has to bring the sliding scale carbon. Uchayev. Ein uchayev al helam mikdash. As he says, if he forgot that the building is the mikdash, he knows he's dumb, he just forgets he's walking into the mikdash, he doesn't have to bring the carbon. Rabbi Akiva says, no, v'nelam imenevu tameh. If he forgets that he's tameh, he has to, the pasuk says, v'nelam imenevu tameh, he forgot and he was tameh. That tells you like this. Alhelam tuma. If you forgot that he was tamei, hu chayev. Eino chayev alhelam mikdash. But he's not chayev if he forgot that it is a mikdash. So I mean, as we said, one second. Might be not. It's the same thing. So Amar Chizkiah. Chizkiah said like this. Sheretz unaveila ikavinai. The difference between them is the following case. A man had in front of him a sheretz, and he had in front of him a nevela. He touched one of them, he doesn't know what he touched. Then he forgot that he became tamei at all, and he entered the temple. And when he comes out of the temple, he remembers he was tamei. Rebbe Lezer sever, Rebbe Lezer holds. He had to know what made him tamei. Did he become tamei through sheretz or nevela? Since here he never knew, therefore there's no law of carbon oliviori. Rebbe Akiva says, no. So lo ba'ina, we don't need that he knows how he became tamei, he just needs to know that he became tummy. So since he had known that he was tummy, now he forgot, he has to bring the carbon ola fiori. Okay, so now how does this tell us anything about tumtum and androgynous? Explains Ula. Lavam Rebbe Lezer Hasan. Rebbe Lezer is saying over there, Binam diyada ibesheret itmi binevela itmi. Rebbe Lezer is saying that for the law of carbon ola fiori, the person has to first know how he became tummy, and he forgets it, and he walks into the temple. So if we're saying a person has to know how he became tamei and took the androgynous too, maybe we require that the person know he below in itmi if he's becoming tamei through the white, through semen, because he's a male, or he's a female and he's becoming tamei through the red, through nida. But maybe it's not that the pasuk mizachar in the keva excludes tumtum and androgynous. It's that since in tumtum and androgynous is a suffix, we don't know how he became tamei. You know, because he had both. Guy had both Odom and Loven. He had both the white and the red. We know that he's tummy. If he's a boy, he's tummy because of the white. If he's a girl, he's tummy because of the red. Well, we don't know exactly what made him tummy. That's why there's no law of all of the earth. Maybe according to Mechiva, who says that if a person knows that they're tummy, then they forget it. They don't have to know how. So Hachanami here too, Mishum Tum Mechayiv, he would be Chayiv. even for a tumtum and androgynous. Now ask the Gemara for Rav. Now Rav, who didn't say it this way, Rav says that the pasuk, it says mizachar nekeva, excludes tumtum and androgynous from the law of tumas mikdash. Why does he exclude tumtum and androgynous from the law of making the temple impure, walking in while impure? Just simply because the pasuk says mizachar v'nekeva tishalechu, and therefore Rav said zachar v'ada, only a male, certain male, or nekeva v'adois, or a certain female, has the law of not walking into the temple while impure and being thrown out if they are impure. The law tumtum androgynous, but not a tumtum androgynous. Yachi, if that's the case, truma nami, even if they touch truma, lo nisro, if we shouldn't burn the truma. Dichsev, because it says in regards to truma, v'azav ezovo lazachar v'lanakeva, and right, zos torah sazav asher teitz men eshif vazer l'tam avav adavav benid asav v'azav ezovo lazachar v'lanakeva. So we should say like this: zachar v'ad v'lanakeva v'adzais. Only when you know he's a male and you know he's a female. But v'lo tumtum androgynous, but tumtum androgynous, even if they have a flow of red and white, they shouldn't be tummy at all. That's the Gemara. No, ahu, that pasuk it says about ziva zachar nekeva. You buy a little kid Reb Yitzchak is needed for something else. I'm Reb Yitzchak. Reb Yitzchak said the fact that it said la zachar in regards to ziva, the rabbis is a mitzora to include a mitzora and to link a mitzora to a zav and to say just like a zav, all the liquids that come out of him, spit and urine, are tamei. So too in a mitzora, Abbas a mitzora l'mayon osav. The springs of a mitzora are also tamei. L'anekevaz l'rabbas a mitzoras l'mayon osav. To say that a woman who has tzaras is like a zav, and the springs that come out of her are tamei, just like the springs that come out of a zav are tamei. Ask the Gemara. So if you're going to use zachar nekeva of ziva for this, hainami. So zachar nekeva in regards to the walking to the temple also should be used for something else. We should use it for the following. We should say someone who can become pure by going into the mikvah, to exclude earthenware utensils that can't become pure by going into the mikvah, and therefore they don't have the law of being removed from the temple. Divrei Rabbi Yossi, if they're tamei. Hence the Gemara, imkein, if so, nichtarach, one of the pasuk we just said, adam tishalechu, send that a person. Why say zachar unakeva, zachar and nekevas, to exclude tumtum and androgynous? Well, he didn't even tell me, because if the Hashem would have written adam, havamina would have thought to say, a person gets sent out, klimat choslo, but metal utensils not. That's why it had to say mizachar nekeva, anything which can go into the mikvah, like zachar nekeva. Says the Gemara, nope. Even if it would have said adam tishalechu, we would not have excluded metal utensils, because the Torah says savas bnei Yisrael v'yishalchem namachan kol tzruv v'chol zav v'chol tamei l'nefesh. Since it's kol tamei l'nefesh nafka, that's to include metal utensils too. So therefore, why did it say zachar nekeva? It could have just said adam lamli. So why did it say zachar nekeva? It's l'kidei Rav, for the lesson of Rav, to exclude tumtum and androgynous. Ask the Gemara, Vei Makum L'Kid Rav U'Da'asa. Maybe the whole pasuk is just to tell me the lesson of Rav. And if so, Nichtov Zachar U'Nekeva. It should have said Zachar and Nekeva. My Mi Zachar V'Ad Nekeva. That's to tell you also the lesson that you just said. I've called Davar Shiesh Lo Tahara B'Mikvah. Only things that have Tahara in a Mikvah have the law of being sent out of the Mikdash. And not a Ticheres that can't become Tahar in a Mikvah. Okay, we'll stop here. And Bezrat Hashem continue tomorrow.